My name is LaShawn, and I've been going to Valorous for about 11 years now, because I started coming here when I was 5, me and my mom. And it's always just been me and her, so it's kind of been like a good journey. Like, I feel like just us two coming here has helped me grow so much in my faith, especially being in Kids World, because I feel like it's important to have a good foundation, especially as a teenager, because there's so many different things like going on in the world right now, and there's so much stuff that's going against what it means to like be a leader in Christ, especially for our youth, because we know that our youth, there's like a war right now against our youth. So I feel like Valorous has helped me kind of grow in that. I feel like as the generations have gone further, we've kind of strayed further from God, especially in the time that we're growing up in with social media. And there's just so many different influences that are trying to keep like people back, especially people my age, like from that 16 to 18 range, because we're like being attacked by the enemy, and we're being attacked by all these different influences in the world right now with school and just the different influences that come from people from the outside, because it's almost nowadays, I feel like it's looked down upon to love God and to follow God, because it's almost like you're hating on because you want to live for God and not live for the world, especially being a teenager, because that makes it so much harder and there's so much pressure on. You want to be like everyone else, but do you want to follow God? I definitely think it's hard trying to navigate that. So it's definitely important that we start to challenge people to stand up and talk about God and spread the gospel and speak up about teenagers and our youth coming together and really taking a stand against the enemy and the influences of the world. I know other kids can't say the same, but I'm blessed to say that I think I did get it at a younger age, just because of the environment that I was in and how I was raised. And I think God really called me just at a young age to be able to do the things that I was doing. And I think that other kids have the same opportunities to be able to do that. And I think Valorous is a great place to start. And I think getting kids in church is a great place to start as well. And I think Valorous has done a great job at just making sure we have safe spaces for our youth and safe spaces that kids can come and they can have fun, but that it can also learn a lot about God along the way. I remember when I was in the fourth and the fifth grade, I had decided that maybe, you know, I had wanted to be a pastor or something along those lines. I just always wanted to be involved, stay involved in whatever job I do. I want to stay involved heavily with church and stay involved heavily with ministry. So when I was younger, I had the opportunity to actually speak at kids when I was a kid. And I felt that really had a heavy influence on my life, because being so young, but doing something just so good for God and giving all the glory to Him and speaking at that young age to other kids that were my age, it really like shifted something in my heart. And I look back on that and I think about it all the time. And I think to myself that, you know, maybe one day that will be me, or maybe it won't, but I know that God has a plan for my life and He still will continue to do great things in my life, regardless of whatever I do. But I know that whatever I do, it will be involved with ministry, and I'll still stay in the church, and I want my kids to be involved in the church, because I know what it did for me at such a young age, and I know that it can change someone else's life.
All right. Well, that's LaShawn's story. Isn't that an amazing story, church? Come on. And we're so thankful for LaShawn and his mama, Shante, for being here at Valorous Church, and their journey and their story, as well as a lot of other people's story in our church. You know, God's doing some amazing things in and through the world, and He's working in people's life, and different people sit in those particular seats that you're sitting in every single week. Sometimes you all come and sit in those seats every week. But no matter who sits in the seat, what God's doing is He's building a story out of somebody's story, and He's building a grander story to exhibit who He is in the world. And so we're in this little teaching series that we have titled, Every Seat is a Story. Now, LaShawn's story is amazing because, as he said in the testimony there, that he got it at a young age. And I want you to know, one of the reasons we have environments, we have children's environments, we have children appropriate environments, we have teenage environments, we have adult environments, we have all kinds of environments. The reason we create all of those environments is it so people can fall in love with Jesus. He can become a part of their life. They can begin to build their life on Christ Jesus and see him do amazing things in and through their life. So LaShawn, come on. LaShawn was, he grew up in what we refer to here at Valorous Church as kids world. He grew up next door in Valorous Kids. And he got it. He went on trips, he engaged himself, he's participated, and he's growing up to be an incredible young man. He's growing up to be a warrior for God's kingdom, exhibiting who God is in the world. And I don't know if you know it or not, maybe you've seen it in the news this week, but there seems to be quite a move among young people. Come on, somebody. And we're honored for that in our culture. You know, God oftentimes uses young people to bring change into the world. And so today I want to talk to us all about being who God has created us to be in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open it up to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking there in the book of 2 Corinthians at how to get our bounce back. Anybody need to get their bounce back? They put my bounce way over there, so I have to walk really far to get it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know, whenever we pick up a basketball, what we want it to do is what? We want it to bounce, you know? And oftentimes, you know, if the ball doesn't bounce, you can't go down the court and score points. And so we always want the ball to bounce. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the writer says this: anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. It says the old life is gone and the new life has come. Now, what does that verse mean to you? Because oftentimes people believe that verse means that everything in life is going to just turn into a bed of roses, and there's never going to be any circumstances, and there's never going to be any challenges. But the Bible says so much different than that. The Bible says in this life, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But Jesus also said, he said, take heart because I have overcome the world. And today what I want to talk to you about is allowing God, who you believe in and what you believe, to change your life in spite of the circumstances. In other words, circumstances around us, they may be different for all of us, but we can all give our allegiance to this same God and see God do amazing things in our life. And in order to see God do these amazing things in our life, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us how that begins to happen. And we're going to go back up in that chapter for just a little bit. And we're going to look at a few things up in that chapter to really help us understand how to get our bounce back. And if you look back up in the chapter there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the writer here says this. He says, for we live by what? By believing and not seeing. He says, we live by believing and not seeing. In other words, what we see often contradicts what we believe. And we have to shape what we see by what we believe. We don't need to be our beliefs shaped by what we see. In other words, oftentimes we see something in life and we begin to let what we see shape what we believe in our heart. But here, the writer says, if you want to get your bounce back, if you want to be all God has created you to be, you want to be who he has created you anew to be in Christ Jesus, he says, we operate by what? By believing and not seeing. He doesn't say that what you see is not reality. He just says what you believe in your heart begins to take precedence over what you see in your life. Yes. And oftentimes what we see in our life contradicts, come on somebody, what we believe in our heart about what God has said and what God is doing. And you got to have the courage to step up and be who God has called you to be in spite of the circumstances, in spite of what you see. And you have to step forward to what he has said, be this new person in Christ Jesus by what you believe and not by what you see. So let me ask you a question today. Are you being guided by your circumstances? Or are you being guided by God in your circumstances? Because what the writer is driving at here is he's saying circumstances are real. Circumstances happen to human beings. Things happen to us in this life. But you have to get something in your heart. You have to operate by what you believe and not operate by what you see. For instance, the circumstances of this surface up here is carpet, and what is inside of this ball is air. But the surface doesn't change. Watch this, okay? The surface is the same. But what is not inside of this ball is air. Same ball. Same surface, different bounce. Why is there a different bounce? It's because of what is on the inside. Come on. You can't see it. But what is on the inside of that ball, we know is air. It hits the same surface, but it does a different thing. Because of what it is, what is inside of the ball. And what the writer is saying is, you're going to face the same troubles, the same life, the same surface as everybody around you. In this world, you will have difficulty. In this world, you will have challenge. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you believe that in your heart in spite of the surface? See, and a lot of people don't have bounce in life because they don't have the right belief on the inside. They don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. By the way, that's what the Bible says is the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have that. They're not bouncing through life with that in the midst of the challenges. And see, I want you to know the challenges will come and the challenges will go. You know, surfaces are going to be what surfaces are. But the reality of it is, in spite of the surface, if you have the right belief on the inside of your heart and your spirit, then you can bounce across life. Life's surface and get to the other side and be all God has created you to be. I want to read to you what the writer says in context here about belief, and not just, you know, the writer is shaped by what he believes and not just what he sees, what is actually happening. Because he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. He says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down. He says, that is when we die and leave this earthly body. He says, we will have a home, a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. In other words, he says, you know what? That's what I believe. He says, in reality, I believe that this earthly tent is decaying, that it's falling apart. This earth suit I live in, he says, is falling apart. It's being rattled. He says, but in reality, he says, that's really happening. That's actually happening. He says, but what I believe in my heart is that my spirit is going to get a brand new suit, a brand new tent, a brand new body. Come on. And he says, so I live my life now in spite of what is happening on the outside, because of what I've got on the inside. Come on. And so many people are guided by what is happening on the outside. And the writer says, no, it's about what I believe on the inside. He says, we grow weary in our present bodies. And we long to put on our heavenly bodies, he says, like new clothing. Come on, like new clothing. He says, for we will put on our heavenly bodies, we will not just be spirits without bodies. In other words, we won't just be floating around, unrecognizable, and you know, sometimes what we think of. He says, no, we're gonna put on these new bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, he says, we groan inside. Anybody groaning inside? Come on, oh my knee, oh my back. Come on. But you know what? In spite of your knee, in spite of your back, you can keep on bouncing. You can keep on moving. You can keep on going if you get the right belief in your heart. He says, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. He says, rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. He says, God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, as a deposit, as a guarantee, he has given us what? The Holy Spirit on the inside. So we are always confident. We're not shaken. We're confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. My friends, that right there can radically change your life if you will begin to let that belief get in your hearts. It's not about what happens on the outside. It's all about what's on the inside. And I'm afraid that a lot of us don't have a bounce in life. We're not getting down the court. We're not going in the right direction. We feel deflated. We feel flat. We feel like that ball laying there on the floor, and we don't have any purpose and we can't go forward, but because our focus is on the outside instead of what God is doing on the inside, what he's breathing into us on the inside. And the Bible says you have a guarantee if you're a believer in Christ Jesus. You have a guarantee, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's the very breath of God. It's God himself breathing new life into you, into you in spite of the earth suit that you live in. And he says, man, you know, we keep our focus right. We're not driven by the circumstances. We're driven by what we believe. And, you know, if we will unite our hearts around this idea, the old life is shaped by circumstances, but the new life is shaped by belief in Jesus Christ and what he is doing in our life and through our life. We have to unite our hearts around that. The old life in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. Slap your neighbor respectfully and say, the old is gone and the new has come. And don't make what God says in his word mean that all your outside circumstances change. Because the truth is oftentimes outside circumstances never change. But God can change what's on the inside so we can triumph and keep pressing forward in spite of the outside circumstances. It's about what you believe in Christ Jesus. And our hope is in what he is doing in our heart eternally. Our hope is in what he is doing in our heart. And it's not that we wanna, you know, just die and get out of this earth suit. No, it's we wanna live in this earth suit respectfully for Christ, but we looking forward to when we don't have all this pain, all this sorrow, all this sin, all this stuff coming at us, making us miss the target of God's glorious standard? We're looking forward to that day, but we keep on living because of what we got to look forward to. Come on. What do you believe? What do you believe? You want to get some bounce in your step? Get this belief in your heart. God is doing some amazing things, my friends, in spite of what you see. And again, God doesn't always have to show the evidence externally that he's working. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this to a man who doubted that he had resurrected from a grave. He says, here, he says, put your hands in the holes in my body. See, it's really me. I'm the one who lived before the cross. I'm the one who resurrected after the cross. Hey, doubting Thomas, look and see, it's really me. But he says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Come on, because they know that it's in their heart. See, so many people just want to see it. And God says, you don't have to see it to believe it. And this isn't just being blind in our faith journey. This isn't saying, I'm just going to believe because somebody told me so. No, this is doing the work, engaging with God, saying, God, show me what life is all about and how to have a connection with you. And it's basically what it means when we repent or turn away from our sin and say, God, I want to know what you want to do with my life. I want to know what you want to do through my life. I want to know what you want to do in me as a human being, what you want to do in my heart. So I turn away from the circumstances and the challenges that are sucking me in this world, and I turn my heart towards you because I believe you showed incredible love on the cross and you desire a relationship with me. And so what it means is repent. Stop believing everything that you see and believe the one who died on a cross and he's madly in love for you and put your faith in that. Turn away. Turn away from believing every lie. Turn away from believing everything you see. And start operating by what you believe in your heart. My friend, God's word says, no matter how far you have gone, how far you have strayed, or how much you haven't known, that Jesus died for you. And he died for me. And he died so we could believe that God is a God that desires a relationship with human beings. And the question is do you want to put your faith in that and believe that Jesus came to reconnect you to God? Or do you want to keep putting your faith in what's pulling you downward? Because Jesus came to lift you up and to put some bounce into your step. The next thing I wrote down about this passage is we get our bounce back when we learn to love. Everybody say love. This is huge. Because I want to show you what it says here in 2 Corinthians. It's the writer writes to the church at Corinth about this new creation. He says, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. But he says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. He says, if it seems like we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is, he says, for your benefit, for somebody else. He's speaking of himself and some people who brought him this good news. He goes on to say, either way, Christ, his love controls us. What controls them? Love. The belief that they have in Christ Jesus and his love. Christ's love controls them. No matter what they're doing in life, operating by faith, doing radical things, crazy things, or teaching in a way that somebody can get it for their benefit. All they do, everything they do, this writer says, everything we do to bring this good news into the world, whether it's radical things, what you may think is crazy, or is it speaking in such a way that you can understand it, grab hold of it, believe it in your own heart, He says, we do all of this because of Christ's love that controls us. Amen. What controls you? Is it the love of Christ or is it the circumstances of the world? See, this writer says he's controlled by Christ's love. He says, since we believe that Christ died for all people everywhere, all times, he says, we also believe that we have died to our old life. See, love, the love of God, does courageous things. It is driven by the supernatural, but controls itself for the benefit of those around us. Let me say this, the love of God is courageous and clear. The love of God is radically courageous and crystal clear. Amen. The cross of Christ is God in the flesh coming to us to show us amazing love in spite of our sin. And the cross of Christ is for all people everywhere. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5, Christ died on a cross for us. I don't care if you're a 2-year-old sinner or a 98-year-old sinner. I need you to know today what Christ did on that cross over 2,000 years ago was radical. It seems crazy, as the writer says, and somebody being out of their mind that they would go that radically and be that courageous and hang on a cross for you to be able to connect to your good God, to become all you were created to be. My friends, the writer's driving at the love of Christ is what controls. In other words, what they do in this world, how they give sacrificially in this world may seem crazy to you. What they do in this world may seem crazy to you. Over and above and beyond. So it's driven by love. The love of Christ. It's in my heart. And he says, if we seem like we're in our right mind, it's for your benefit. In other words, the church should be showing radical love to the world around us by being in our right mind, but also doing things they would never do because we are filled with the Holy Spirit and God has invited us to do what they would never do because they don't have the love of Christ in their heart. They don't give, you know what, unconditionally. They don't share freely because they are wanting to show the love that comes from their heart. The world don't do that. The world always gives to get something in return. And we give to get something in return too. Our hope is when we give freely, give sacrificially, give giant, radical, that it's people can see the one who blessed us to be the blessing into their life. My friend, you know, there's some people that say how we're going about even moving this church to the next level and, you know, building an auditorium and doing all these things. They're like, that's radical. Yeah, it's radical, but can I tell you something? There's a lot of people sitting among you that has Christ's love in their heart, and this is why they're giving sacrificially. They're not giving because they have to. Not even really giving for themselves. They're giving for the sake of the good news of Christ. and what God can do in a human being's life and do in a family and do in the hearts of other people. And it may seem radical to you, may even seem wasteful to you, but I don't know if you know it or not, but whenever there was a group of people sitting around the feet of Jesus and this lady busted open an expensive jar of perfume and she poured it out and she poured it on Jesus' feet. There was one disciple that was sitting in the room, or lots of disciples sitting in the room who were basically people who followed Jesus, and they looked at her and said, "What a waste." And Jesus said, "No, what a way to worship." Wait for it. Because she is preparing me for what I came to do. She's worshiping me so I can go to a cross. And you said it was wasteful because she didn't feed the poor with her resources. Go read the story. But I said it's worship because she's preparing me to do what I came to do. And it's to go to a cross so I can rise from a grave and display my love to all people everywhere. And so she's about getting the good news of who I am out in the world. So she's pouring out sacrificially. And you said it's a waste. But I say, Jesus says, I said it was worship. Come on. It's radical. It goes above and beyond. But it does make sense. It begins to be shared in such a way where people can get it and they can understand the reason, you know, what we give out of this heart is not to just meet physical needs, but to hopefully introduce people to the family we belong to. It's the family of Christ. It's the ones who have repented of their sin, turned their heart towards God, and he is totally in control of their heart and their life now. And our heart is compelled by love. It's amazing love. It's radical love. As Francis Chan wrote a book, it's crazy love. As Bob Goff wrote a book, it's love does. See, the love of Christ does something. It moves, it compels, it advances, it goes somewhere. See, for God so loved the world. Listen to this, it's a famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, gave. Freely, willfully gave his one and only son. So whoever would believe in him would not waste away, would not perish, would not flounder, would not stay flat. But they would have eternal life. The breath of God would be put in them. They would begin to bounce through life and do amazing, amazing things. See, if your life ain't bouncing, I'm just asking you the question, do you really believe Jesus came to connect with you in this earthly body, though this earthly body is fading away? Do you really have the love of Christ in your heart? And is it compelling you to get this good news out around the world, in and around those in you or around you? See, it's not just a religious gathering. The Bible says our true act of worship is offering up our bodies as a living sacrifice. I love standing in crowds singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I love standing in crowds, singing songs to the Almighty, to Jesus, worshiping, gathering. But at some point in time, as that worship flows in, my friends, it has to flow out. It has to do something. It has to get in you and get out there. Because listen, God isn't in a building. God, he meets people in a building, but he's getting outside of the building and he's permeating his amazing presence through our true act of worship. Using the gifts that God placed inside of you while you still have time here on this earth to get the good news out around the world. No matter where you go or what you do, get filled up with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because as you give out, what happens is you have to be filled back up like a glass. And so I invite you to get in the midst of God's people and get filled with the Holy Spirit. But my friends, don't just stay in here and just hang out together. Let's go pour it out in the world. And if you're going to pour it out enough, you're going to be hungry and thirsty to come back up in this joint and get filled up again with the Holy Spirit so you can go back out and pour it out again. Pour it out! But see, we're bouncing because we believe. And love controls us. Which leads me to the last point. If you really want to bounce, you got to participate. Oh my goodness. Love does something. Don't be just hearers of the word. The Bible says, but be. Maybe y'all don't know that verse. James says, don't be hearers of the word, but to be.
Doers.
Come on, love God, help me out. To be what?
Doers,
doers of the word. Wow. That's awesome, isn't it? Because God knows that when you participate, he begins to put a fresh filling in you over and over and over and over and over again. His love never runs out. His spirit is a continuous flow. I could go to a lot of sermons with that right there. But I'm not going to do it today. But what I'm trying to ask you to do is to participate in what God is doing through his church and be a part of the grander plan in the earth. And let's just read the closing of the chapter together. It says it this way, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. It says, the old life is gone. The flat life is gone. The non-bouncy life is gone. The deflated life is gone. But he says, the new life has come. I know the old life looks a little wrinkled. Feels a little flat, but if you'll get a fresh feeling today through the connection that Jesus came for you to make with an all-holy, all-powerful, everywhere at one time God, you can begin to bounce. The old life will be gone and the new life will come. That doesn't mean that everything on the outside is going to change. But what it does mean is what's on the inside can forever change the distance of what's on the outside will go. He goes on to say this. All of this is a what? A gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of what? Reconciling other people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. The writer goes on to say this, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. My friend, what it says is if you belong to the church and belong to Christ Jesus, you're an ambassador. You're a representative. You're one that is here on assignment for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is king over an unshakable kingdom. You're an ambassador. You're a spokesperson. You're a participant in the world to be a promoter of what God can do in human beings' life when they become a part of what he's doing in the world. You're a promoter. The biblical word for that is you become a part of his evangelism plan. Reaching out to the world around us, building up the believer. Come on, we have gifts to build each other up as believers so we can worship Christ together. So as a community of believers, we can go out in this world and share this good news. Well, what if the church, all of us got that? Change the world. See, I'm glad people are driving to revival, driving to Asbury College, singing worship songs for hours upon hours, weeks upon weeks. That's awesome. But my prayer is they don't stay there. Oh my gosh. And just get filled up and never go out and accomplish the mission of what God has given them an assignment to do. And that's to bring the good news and permeate this earth with his amazing presence, with the spiritual gifts that God has given them. And my friends, I am for a revival. And I think that God is doing it in the churches around the world today. I think he can use young people to do amazing things, and we need to keep advancing those gifts as hard as we can advance them. But let's participate. Let's don't wait for the next generation to do it. Let's be the generation that does it and brings all of what God does into the earth. Yes, I know the world is shaking. Yes, I know the world is troubled. I know that, you know, this earth suit of mine is fading. But I also believe that while I'm here in it, I got an assignment all the days of my life. And it's to help people know who God is through Christ Jesus and us all have an eternal home. And the question is, do you want to participate? There's a way that you can do that. We're continuing moving forward with our phase two Living the Vision campaign. That's the financial piece of it. And we're asking people, do you want to step in and help us get this next facility built so people can, you know, keep moving forward? And again, you know, if you want to be one person that gives a magnitude of dollars to help us with that, that would be awesome. But really, you know, I'm asking every one of us to consider what God wants to do in our heart. Not my neighbor's heart, not expecting somebody else to do it for me. But what does God want to do with me and with you? Because I'm all audacious enough to believe if all of us would do what God is telling each of us to do as individuals, he could do some remarkable things in this earth. You know, there's a pledge card in the back of your seats. It says Living the Vision on it. You can read all about it and how you can participate. There's some things out in the lobby where you can participate and stop by. And you know, Kim, my wife, would be out there in a little booth out there to kind of show you some samples of what we're doing. And those are some of the physical things that we're doing in the earth. But I make no bones about it. It's a way that we express what we believe, the environment that we're trying to create. It's a way that we show this world the love of God, and it's a way we all participate together simply to get the good news of Christ into every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And we're thankful for every seat because we believe that God is writing an amazing story. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray today that we wouldn't live a flat life, a deflated life, but we would get a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit today. And God, we would each recognize that we are here to worship you, the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who created us with assignment, created us to permeate your presence throughout this earth. And God, as we come back to you, God, I pray that you could begin to do amazing things in our heart and in our life. God, we're thankful for the stories. We're thankful for what you're doing in individual lives and us as a group collectively in the world. God, I thank you for young people coming to know who you are, like LaShawn. God, we're thankful for his story. We're thankful, God, today he shared his story. And our prayer is you continue to bless him as he continues to be a blessing in this earth. God, I pray today, if there's a person here today that has never surrendered their life to you, that today would be the day that they turn from their sin. They turn to the love, Jesus, that you expressed on the cross. They would believe you died for their sin and rose again so you could be connected to an eternal God and live forever. And my friend, the Bible says you have to take your faith and put it in that. And if you choose to do that today, man, I want to say welcome to the family. And our prayer is that we could come alongside of you, participate with you, and all of us grow together and do amazing things in this earth. God, we thank you for this service. We thank you for this time together. May we be filled so we go out and change the world. We pray it in Christ's most holy and precious name. Amen.